Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the book of 1 Peter, this time chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the privilege we have to come to your house. And then, Lord, once again, to as we assemble together, to be reminded that you are here in our midst. And so, Lord, we call upon you to fill us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you might receive all of the honor and the glory, that we might receive the understanding and the knowledge and receive the truth of what you've already given to us, that we might walk in your truths and your way and follow after you in a way that would honor and glorify you and allow us to be the peculiar people you've called us to be, the holy people, and the people that would honor and glorify you by pointing others to you. Bless your word, bless your people tonight, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is called Unto God's Eternal Glory. That's what the Bible just told us, right? We are called unto the glory of God. And so we thank the Lord for that. And we want to consider just a couple of things tonight. One particular portion here I don't think we hear enough of, but it's important to understand. And that is a word to elders or pastors. We're going to look at that here just for a moment. And then we're going to look at the importance of humility. And then lastly, the word is be sober. Be sober. And we'll look at why God wants us to be sober. And of course, he's not talking about from intoxicating drink. That's not the kind of sober he's talking about. But he is talking about be aware of the day and age and the times in which you live in, because they are drawing short. And by the way, even when we say that the time is drawing short, we believe for the Lord's return. Boy, oh boy, listen, if our time and our day and age doesn't fit the pattern of what Jesus said the world was going to be like before he came, I've never seen it closer than ever before. But at least we only have a certain amount of days to live on this side of eternity. And may God receive all the glory that is due to him through us because of the eternal life and the price that was paid for our redemption. So we do want to take a look at some of these things here that God's talking about. Particularly to his redeemed, which is the saved and those who are part of his local New Testament church. And so let's focus in here on a word to elders, a word to pastors. And you might say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not an elder, I'm not a pastor. No, but you need to know what the Lord said to them because God wants us to understand what he's called them to do. So let's pick up here in verse 1. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And by the way, we all are going to be partakers of that glory that shall be revealed. Now, the calling of a preacher or of a pastor is a privilege, really, to that individual. But that doesn't mean that they are more or less than the rest of the body, okay? Everything that we have is given to us by the Lord. And so may we thank the Lord for what he's given to us and the place and part that he has called us to in the local New Testament church. So notice what he says here to the pastors. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed them. Make sure, take the responsibility that God has given to feed them with God's food, not with the chaff, not with the just filler. We don't want to give just filler. We want to give the substance of the Word of God to the church of God, to the believers. And so he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Notice this, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So let's just kind of break that down a little bit. He says, listen, not taking the oversight by constraint. In other words, remember we talked about it this morning. The church of God are the sheep of God, right? They're his flock. And they are to be led. They are to be led to the green pastures. They are to be led to the water, not by making people feel guilty or making them feel ashamed or any of that. And so that's not what we're to do. And by the way, listen, I don't ever, ever want to do or say anything that would make you feel guilty
or ashamed in a sense of to manipulate you to do something for the Lord. My heart's desire is that God leads you and creates a hunger and a thirst in your heart for Him. Amen? That's the best way to do it. Listen, I don't want somebody whipping me either. Amen? Now, the Lord has every right to do that when I need it. But I want you to know God's way is the woman at the well. Hey, there's water that you could drink of that you will never thirst. Did He whip her? No, He didn't whip her. He presented to her an opportunity that would change her life and give her a source of refreshment, a spiritual refreshment that she could never get from anywhere else. And so the Lord is wanting to do that for us. Listen, we ought to come into God's house to expecting to hear a word of refreshment, something that is, oh yes, something more to know about the Lord. The Lord never guilted anybody. The only time that He ever dealt with people is like when he told Peter, now Peter, you can't follow me now. I'm ready to die for you, Lord. Now, he stepped out of line on that situation. And so he told him the truth. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, right? He told him that. And then remember when he told the Lord, you shouldn't go to the cross. Well, he didn't understand. Peter did not understand that. And so the Lord dealt with him accordingly. And that's the Lord, by the way. He can do that for us in a way that man can't do that. And so the pastor is basically to open up the bread of life, the Bible, the Word of God, that the child of God might be able to feed upon it. Isn't that the best way? Amen? Amen. That's God's way. He wants to, when we come to the Word of God, He wants to awe us and wow us and encourage us to see, that's for me? That's for me? You remember when you got saved? That's for me? I could be saved by trusting in you and putting my faith in you. And then when we do that and we say, wow, what a Savior. Amen. What a God that He would save us. Our Christian growth and growing in the grace of God should be just like that. Discovering more understanding and revelations from the Lord to enhance our relationship and our walk with Him. You know, we are our how would you say, our trial. We are the only thing that gets in the way. Our thinking, our hearts sometimes, and our minds, a way of thinking, is the only thing that keeps us from understanding what God is wanting to do in our lives. And here's the wonderful truth. God knows us, doesn't He? Better than anybody else. And He knows what we need to hear to turn the light bulb on. Do you know God wants to give us His understanding? He says, listen, I want you to know this relationship. I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and you're in me. Isn't that good? God wants us to know, listen, we've got this wonderful relationship going on that God wants to fan the flames so that there's a great fire burning in our hearts and minds for Him. So He says this, not by constraint, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, not for any kind of financial gain, but of a ready mind. In other words, you've spent time with the Lord, you're giving yourself, and God has given you exciting things. You know, it's oftentimes, boy, what will I find? It's which one, Lord? Which one? A lot of times he points so many different things out because God is infinite. There's no end to the Lord. Many times I look at scripture that I've studied before, and God shows me something brand new that enhances my walk and understanding with the Lord and what that's all about. It's not just for the pastor, it's not just for Peter, who's an elder also, but it's for all of God's people. We as preachers just have the privilege to dispense the Word of God. Remember the boy with the two fishes and five loaves? You remember how that all worked out? He was willing, the Lord was the one, and then the Lord was the one that performed the miracle. And then He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples, come on now, if you were one of the disciples and you kept putting out of this one, you're carrying a basket, and it, You know, you're just handing it out, and it's replenishing, and it's an amazing thing. And so listen, look at the benefit. The people were at awe. They saw what the disciples were doing. How in the world could that happen? God was doing that, and the disciples were enjoying giving that out, and the people were enjoying eating it and being amazed at what God was doing. Listen, it all glorifies the Lord. God has called us to this place. God has called us to be a part of this body, to enjoy Him. Amen? To be in awe about Him. It's not about me. It's not about you specifically as individuals, but it's really about the Lord in us doing these wonderful things for us, His glory, and for our blessing. And so that ought to be really the outlook that elders or pastors have towards serving the Lord. And so notice verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Now, how does that happen? Well, the Lord gives the preacher a message, and that ought to awe the preacher. And we're learning too. We are learning. Without God, what are we? That means the preacher too. He's nothing without the Lord. So we've got to go to the well if we're going to get the living water. Amen. And so all we do is we go to the basket where the bread of life is at. Amen. And the word of God. And we go, wow, look at this. And we're in awe, and God's people are in awe. And what are we in awe over? God. Amen. We're just, wow, look at this. There's no end to the Lord, and that really ought to be the heart of God's elders or God's preachers or pastors. So we're to feed the flock, we're to be examples to the flock by God blessing us, and we sharing the we share the blessing with one another, and then also a crown of glory. Look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I want you to know that's for all of God's people too. You will receive a crown as well when you walk with the Lord. All right, so that is a word to elders. Now we want to look at the importance of humility. And again, it's not just, this is, now we talked about elders. That was not just really for the elders. That helps everybody understand. And now we're looking at the importance of humility. And this is not just for the church. This is also for the pastor, for the elder. It's for all of God's people, right? All these things have been given to all of us. And may we never, what are we without the Lord? Again, we're not anything. And we are what we are by the grace of God, right? We're saved by the grace of God. If we're to be of any value, it's not in us, it's in the Lord. May He receive all the honor and the glory. Let's look at the importance of humility. Look at verse 5 and see what the Lord says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Now, so notice these examples. He says, so first of all, you know, you ought to be respectful to your elders. Should you not? You ought to be. They may not be right, but you should still be respectful. Wouldn't the world be a different, wouldn't our country, wouldn't our city be a different place if we just adhere just to that one truth there? Respect your elders. Respect them. You don't have to agree with them, but have respect. Treat them with decency and kindness and gentleness in a way that would honor the Lord. That goes a long way. So that's something that we can put into practice that will reap an immediate reward in our relationship with our elders. And that requires humility. That's the real truth. Why that is not taking place is because society is not humble. Society is very proud, and God resists the proud. Remember that. So he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. What is he saying? Have this kind of respect. Have this kind of honor one to another, not just the younger to the elder, but all of you subject one to another. And then he says this, be clothed with humility. Now, let's stop and just look at that idea. Be clothed. You know what it means to be unclothed? Right? Some people think they're clothed and they go out in public and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I think they forgot to put something on, right? So they don't seem to be too well clothed. And so when God is talking about being clothed, He's not talking about wearing the least amount of humility, but be completely enrobed in the humility of God. Let that guide your every way and every thing that you do through your heart and mind for God, because it is for the Lord. So he says, and be ye clothed with humility. And this is the reason why. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So he says, be clothed with humility. Wear an overcoat of humility. I mean, let it cover your whole heart, mind, and your thoughts. Everything that we do ought to be clothed with humility. And what does that mean? Well, you know, if I'm a humble person, if it's God's humility that I'm concerned about, then when I look at other people, I think about them as God thinks about them. And so if somebody does something that is not right, I shouldn't spread that around. If it's really a concern, if I have anything to say, I should say it to that one person, if it's going to be of any help at all. But the best thing to do is to pray for those individuals that maybe need your prayers, right? So if we see something and it's not right, we shouldn't expose that and belittle them, but to pray for them and to encourage them in the Lord. See, this is the Spirit of Christ, is it not? It's not. If we're not careful, we can use the Bible and manufacture our own self-righteousness, and we miss the Lord in doing that. So these are things that require faith that you can only do, let me back up here, not that you can do, but that you can bring up before the Lord to perform that, call upon Him. Lord, I want to walk in your kind of humility. And I need you to do that. I don't have that kind of humility. We don't have that kind of humility. Let me just tell you the natural man. The natural man comes out the moment something cuts across our grain. The moment somebody does something unkind, you will see the self man. That doesn't glorify the Lord. That doesn't glorify the Lord. And so we don't need humility. Listen, we don't need kindness and gentleness. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. But what we do need is Christ Himself. Because you don't know what you need today for the rest of the day. Now, Lord willing, nothing will cut it. Well, maybe not so, Lord willing. It's good. When God allows things into our lives, it is to help us with ourselves, to yield ourselves to the Lord. That's what those trials are for. To show us, ready, who we are really trusting. If we get upset, we're not trusting God. Because He works out. Does God work out all things for our good? Question: was it good? This is a trick question, so don't answer it too fast. All right? This is a trick question. I'm telling you up front. Was it good that Joseph's brothers did what they did to Joseph in selling him into Egypt? Think about that for a moment. Was it good? Was it good? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It wasn't right. It was not right what Joseph's brothers did, but it was good because God used that to get Joseph to where he needed to be to fulfill the dream that He gave to Joseph. So see how that works? It was good. And did Joseph believe that it was good? Absolutely. But here's the real question. Did Joseph's brothers believe that it was good? No, they did not believe that it was good. That plagued them. Do you know, listen, we don't think about this. God is not mocked. Amen? Amen. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't you know when they lied to their dad? Whose is this? The coat of many colors dipped in blood. Remember? They wanted their dad to think that his son was killed, that their brother was dead. And guess what he thought? Exactly that, didn't he? Exactly that. For years, they knew the truth, and they never told their dad. Do you know that bothered them? We don't hear that, but that. How do I know that? Because the moment they went down to Egypt, and they got put in prison because of what, you know, they found the cup, right? And Pharaoh got them, Joseph, got them all penned up and everything. And then they start, this is happening to us because what we did to our brother. I'm paraphrasing, right? That bothered them. That plagued them. And then listen, when Joseph revealed himself to them, They didn't know what to do with that, did they? They were like a deer in the headlights. Weren't they? They were like, whoa. And so now, boy, oh boy, mixed emotions. I mean, praise the Lord that he's not dead, because they thought he was dead. They thought surely he's not going to live long. And so maybe, you know, they thought he was dead, and then there he is right in front of them. But wait a minute, it gets worse, doesn't it? Not only is he right in front of them, but he's the boss. But the thing was that they did not understand is he had the Spirit of God on him. He never intended any ill will towards his brothers. Now, here's the beautiful part, that he loved them and received them and said, go tell my dad, and I'm sending you the wagons, and I'm sending you all these things to bring to him so that he will know. Listen, God moved Joseph to give the wagons because he knew that his father needed to see the Egyptian wagons there to take him back to Egypt where his son would be. And listen, Jacob could not believe, and until the Bible says until he went out and saw the wagons, then he said, it's enough, my son is alive, I will go and see him. And then we know the story that after Jacob dies, Israel dies, now the brothers, they still couldn't get over it, could they? Oh my goodness, he's going to get us now. And it broke Joseph's heart because he said, look, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Do you know that is the same kind of humility that is available for you and I? Do you know that is God's will, that we have that kind of humility, that we trust him, that all these things are for our good, even when people intentionally mean it for evil, God is still on the throne? That is you and I putting our faith, our trust, that God truly is working out all things for our good, even though the world is not doing that. And so how do you do that? That is important. Listen, that will carry us a long way to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to abide in you so that I can trust you that all things work together for my good and for your glory. Do you mean to tell me that when things are done unkindly to us, that those are all things? Aren't they? Aren't they all things? Are we playing with God or are we being serious with the Lord? And so God wants us to understand all things. When people misuse us, and we can have the same faith, the same trust in our God that Joseph did, that glorifies the Lord. Our stinky flesh never glorifies the Lord. It stinks. It does not glorify the Lord when we give people a piece of our mind. It's a shame to lose any piece of our mind. We have so little anyway. Lord, help me to keep my whole mind. I need it. And that I might give it to you and use it and allow you to guide me in everything that we do. May we never give up any ground to the flesh, to the devil, to the world. May everything you have given to us, Lord, listen, pray, Lord, may everything you have given to me, may I use that and give that to you to use for your honor and glory. All right? So this is important. And again, why is this humility important? Because the Bible says at the end of verse 5, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And because he does that, verse 6, he says, humble yourselves. Therefore, what was it there for? Because God resists the proud. Listen, you're a child of God. If you have a spirit of pride, will God resist you? That wasn't a trick question. Yes, because he's not a respecter of anybody, is he? He's a respect, not even of his own, in the sense of if you follow him, he will bless. But if you reject his ways, and by the way, listen, do you remember when the pilgrims and the strangers, the unbelievers, they were called strangers, they signed the Mayflower Compact? You know there were unbelievers that signed it. We agree to that. Do you know that God blesses his word if we follow it, even to the lost world? Do you know the lost world benefits when God's people are prevailing with the word of God and with the truth of God? Listen, there have always been lost people in the United States of America from the very founding of our country. But as long as we would adhere to the word of God, humble ourselves, that's what it requires. Lord, your word rules. Not just when it's convenient. Your word is law in my life. And the lost world was willing to say, I agree to that. And when they did, listen, did God bless America?
Amen.
Amen, he did. And he still is blessing by his grace. He's still blessing. And because of that, listen, the lost world was also blessed with a good life, with opportunities in this life. And so it's always a good thing to humble ourselves as believers that God might be honored and that the blessings might overflow, not just in our lives, but in everybody's life. So he says, humble, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, listen, in due time. Fathom this thought. Every time you humble yourself before the Lord, keep this in mind, there's an exaltation coming. Listen to that. Listen to that truth. There is a reward for you and I to humble ourselves before Almighty God. And what does that mean? In other words, Lord, your word is law in my life. So we're to cover the multitude of sins. That's what love does. We're not to expose them when it comes to especially fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to expose them. Pray for people that may be not walking right and that the Lord would show them his way. And then, don't you like it when you come to this, when the Lord gives you this revelation and you see it, oh, you're talking to me, God. Doesn't that go a long way? Whatever it is, oh, Lord, I see it now for his glory, our blessing, whatever it is. But when God reveals it to us personally, doesn't that go much further than anybody can do? Do you know that's everything with God, with our correction. When God can reveal it to us, we are humbled before the Lord. But if we walk humbly, God will continue to show and expound. Listen, that's why Daniel's relationship was the way that it was with God. Because he was getting so much from the Lord. And the three Hebrew children. And Job. And Abraham. And even Jacob at the end of his life, he was getting so much from the Lord, wasn't he? He was getting so much. There was a famine. Look what he got. Look. Did God work out that famine for his honor and glory and for the good of Jacob and his children? Absolutely, because guess what happened? Well, they found out Joseph was alive, and they were taken to the place where they had plenty and where God had provided. And it was why? Because they were smack dab, you like that word, smack dab, in the middle of God's will. I don't know what smack dab means, but you know what, all right? You get the gist of it, as we all do. All right. So humility is waiting for the Lord. So he says, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Isn't that good? For he careth for you. So, you know what Joseph knew? God cared for him. God cared for him when his brothers didn't like him before they sold him. He knew that God cared for him when he was sold into slavery. He knew that God cared for him when Potiphar's wife lied on him. Amen? He knew God cared for him when he was left in prison. After the butler, right, that was supposed to tell what happened, he forgot him there. That's what carried Joseph through. There was a personal relationship that was a back and forth. See, it's a back and forth. It's us understanding what God has told us to do and us proving the Lord or trusting the Lord, and then he reciprocates that faith, and he builds that faith, and he cultivates that faith. He's the husbandman, is he not? He's the one that takes care of the farming so that the fruit grows. Amen. All we have to do is just abide in Christ. Amen. Just hang on to the vine. He's the true vine, right? Just hang on. Just abide in. In fact, listen. Here's a beautiful. You don't even have to hang on. You're already in. We're already in as saved children. We're in. What does the branch do on the vine? It hangs there. Amen? Can it not hang there? It's there. It's there. And then because we are abiding or attached to the vine, the fruit comes. The fruit. Stop trying, amen, I'm talking to myself too, to produce the fruit. God will produce it. All we have to do is abide. And guess what? You don't have to pray it through. You are already there. You just have to receive that truth and believe and walk in that truth that we are already in Christ. Are we not? That's what it means to abide. We're in him and he's in us. All right? And then notice this. The last thought. Be sober. Why? So let's put this together. We have a word to the elders on what they're to be doing. It was given to us concerning the importance of humility. And God wants us to walk in this because that's what connects us to the Lord. Because if we walk in our pride, God resists us. His own. He will do that. Listen, he's true to his word. So if you want something from God that you've not seen yet, don't put yourself in a place to where God's going to resist you. Because he can do that. He will do that. If we walk in our pride, well, let me just tell you what I know. That's a wrong place because we are finite beings and we've not walked with the Lord so long that he can't show us more. Amen. And if we ever get to that place, well, then we will stifle the blessing of God and we won't see the more that he wants to show us. So be sober. Listen, be aware that we're to be growing in these things. And he tells us why right here. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who are those? The ones that are not walking upright before the Lord. The ones who are walking in the flesh, in the strength of the flesh, in the natural mind. They're going to be overthrown. They're puppets. They have no power if it's not coming from the Lord. And it's only, listen, but by the grace and mercy of God that he keeps us. Now, I do believe this. As a child of God, you are always in the hand of God. But we can resist the blessing of God. We can put ourselves in a bad place and not be the recipients of really everything that God had intended for us. We will get some of it, but we won't get it all. And God says, if you want everything I've got for you, and believe me, you know it and I know it, it's better than anything this world has to offer. So notice this. He says, be careful because of the devil. Be sober because of the devil. And then also be sober because of the affliction. Notice verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, plural, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. When we talk about this humility, when we talk about dying to self, every one of us experience it. Every one of us. Nobody's exempt. The preacher's not exempt. The preacher there's as many trials and tribulations in all of our lives. The preacher doesn't get more, he doesn't get less. He gets the same because God is wanting to build his church, is he not? And to do what? Well, first of all, to trust him. That's faith. If we trust him, then we're walking by faith in what he has said and what he has promised. So he says, be careful because of the devil. He says, be careful, be sober because of the same affliction. And then also be sober for the wonderful truth because of the God of all grace. And here we're going to finish up here. Ready? So let's put that together. Be sober, keep this thought in mind, because of the devil. Be sober because of the affliction. And all, on the positive, those are two negative notes. But then the positive is be sober because of the God of all grace. Look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us, listen to this, unto his eternal glory. Isn't that good? Amen. By Christ Jesus. And he's going to explain this. Listen, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now listen to what God is saying. Because of the... When you enter into the affliction as Paul did, as Daniel did, as Job did, and not turn away from your God, and not turn away from your Savior, and not turn away from your faith or trust in God, God says, I will reward that. See, because that, see, listen, That is trust revealed. That is a true trust. There's no trust. Do you trust that bridge to carry you across? How will you express that trust? By walking over the bridge. Amen. Do you trust that rope to hold you? Oh, another story now, isn't it? Right? We get a little skimpy. So when things look dark, listen, do you still trust God, who is worthy of all of our trust? Will God ever let us down? Will God ever fail? So keep this thought in mind. Be sober, be vigilant because of the devil. Be sober because of the affliction, and be sober because of the God of all grace will come through. He will come through. What does it mean to be sober? To adhere to all the things that God is calling us to do by His grace. Lord, I want to abide in You. I'm still learning. How about you? What does it mean, Lord, to abide? I ask Him that. I want to ask Him that every day. Lord, what does it mean to abide in You? I understand. I'm just scratching at the surface. But I understand what it means to abide in the Lord more today than yesterday. More today than yesterday. But if I keep seeking God, I will learn more tomorrow, won't I? I will learn more tomorrow. Listen, it's a good thing to grow in the grace of God. That's what it means to learn more about what God has already given to us. So here we are. We're done here. I want to remind you of this. This is the way I understood it, the best way. And I know I just shared this with you last week. But all these tribulations, all these difficulties that God uses is the black felt that a jeweler uses to pop up the beautiful stones, the ruby, the diamond, the sapphire, right? All these beautiful stones, they shine against the black drop of the felt cloth. And likewise, listen, when we go through the trials trusting the Lord, our faith will shine behind those trials. And there are going to be some people that are going to shine more than others because of what... Listen, Job went through a lot, did he not? Do you think his faith shined? It did. Because he trusted the Lord. And God's very merciful, is he not? And so we put our trust, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I'm going to trust you. Some things may happen, but Lord, please, Lord, May you never let me lose my faith in you. I don't ever want to lose my trust. I always want to know, not just believe, I always want to know that God is faithful no matter what. And so look at the black drop, and then here is the glory. Ready? But verse 10, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory, the glory of God that shines by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, and here are the diamonds, ready? Make you perfect, that's bator. Establish, that means you're not blown around. Strengthen, that means you have a faith that shines a light. And settles you, that means you're unmovable. You're rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we have that, we can say, verse 10, ready? Listen, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We would say, amen. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, for the blessing that you give to us. Lord, the blessings that you bestow upon us. All these truths that you've given to us to walk in and to enjoy and to grow in and to experience more of your wonderful grace and mercy and power to glorify your name. May you reveal more, Lord. May you set our hearts and our souls on fire for you as a church, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.